Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to episode 284 of the Falcoholic Live. We are here for our final pre-draft show. It's draft eve, and we've got, of course, Nanikic joining us along with our special guest. He's back, Eric Robinson at Eric_Eric_Robinson over at ESPN. Eric, welcome back to the show. You were on the screen when I was introducing. My usual plan is, you know, Adnan first, but you were like up on the screen, so I felt awkward introducing Adnan while you were like actively up on the screen. But
I'm a guest, man.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly. You know, you get the shine. You know, Adnan just came back too. Oh, you know, I was
Adnan
doing this solo.
The solo.
Adnan came back, you know, a while ago.
Yeah, I didn't just come back. No, I was joking. On those patron shows, like, you know.
Yeah.
He needs.
No,
the
it's all good. Adnan's a dear friend. You know. He's only been gone for a moment. Yeah. But no, Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing, man. We're 24 hours removed from the 2024 NFL draft. Falcons drafting at 8th overall again, third year in a row. Let's hope. Well, I don't. You know what? At this point, I don't know.
Especially
at the font in those comments yesterday.
I'm he like, didn't realize it. It was so funny. Did you? I don't know if you guys saw that, but he thought it was only two straight years at the conference, and he was like, "It's only two, right?" People were like, "It's three." So that's how little they care about that statistic. But you know, I just thought that was funny. Right. I can't believe it either. So
yeah, that left me in the clouds even more after listening to that. I'm like, yeah, I have no clue what they're going to do with it.
No, he did a good job. One thing I think that is pretty clear is that they want to trade down. I think that was abundantly clear, and I'm also excited for that potential possibility here. So we're going to see if that materializes or not. But before we get to that, of course, want to introduce Adnan Nikic as well. He's at Say Which Way, my co-host. Adnan, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well. You know, I'm just really astounded and pleased by the show's progress because, you know, we have the ESPN talent here as our guest on draft eve, like how far we've come.
Bro, I'm just a guy.
ESPN Bro, Eric, you know.
Just a guy wearing an NFL Live jacket right now.
I didn't even change clothes when I came home for work, man. That's just how it is.
That's just completely coincidental that that's
I'm just wearing. I'm just a guy. Just like the cafeteria worker. I'm just a guy, man. That's all it is.
Yes, and folks, I'm aware that my camera's not working. I'm working on that, but you can still hear me, so that's all that matters. And you can see the other two guests, so that's all we really need here. But
you're really sponsoring Elgato.
Elgato, you know, the shout out. Give me a call, Elgato.
They need to send you a free camera.
Right? I mean, every once in a while, when it like loads into the show, it like starts like it'll do like where like only one third of the camera is like working and the other three like thirds are just like blacked out for no real reason, and then it's starting to come back, but that's not really relevant to today's episode in any way other than just it's kind of silly, but otherwise the camera looks great, so great job Elgato on that. Some occasional software hiccups notwithstanding, great product there. But guys, we're gonna dive in. Before we do, real quick, want to bring you guys a word from our sponsor, BetOnline. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. Unfortunately, Hawks no longer involved. They were in the play-in magic ran out. Adnan, what happened?
Yeah, we were on the show last week and I was talking about how excited I was for the game that happened right after the show, and then we got plastered by 25 or however much it was. Rough day. Yeah, you know what? We'll get them next season.
Yep, we ride. No, unfortunately, can't bet on the Hawks anymore. Probably good for your pocketbook. I think there probably are still some NFL draft props available if you're a true sicko. You can check that out. But no matter what you want to bet on, guys, you can get the latest stats, news, and scores available as you follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs, or in the case of, you know, the Falcons' relevancy, hopefully the playoffs after that. But, you know, hopefully tomorrow will be a good step on that path. But guys, you can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So what are you waiting for? Head to that website, betonline.ag, today, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Not
all right.
Not to undercut, you know, the sponsor.
Go ahead.
You know, thanks for the money. But if you place a bet on the NFL draft, I think you should just be connected to the hotline right away.
it just goes straight to the hotline. Like when you place the bet, it just instantly connects you. But I've considered some NFL draft props, you know. But yeah, it's.
I also think you should consider calling the hotline afterwards.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't feel good about it, you know.
To put your money on the draft, like that's a different
on the draft. Like, come on, it's like putting your money on preseason. Like, what are we?
Yeah, people, I mean, it's sicko behavior for sure. But I'm not here to judge anyone. You know, if you guys want to bet on it, go to Bet Online. They'll hook you
on
up.
Social media, people are furious in the fourth quarter of an NFL preseason game, just like, oh, yeah, you know, this player didn't get his over or whatever it is. And I'm like,
it might be the most unpredictable sporting event that you can think of. Like, it's just, I can't fathom putting money on the draft.
It's bold. It's bold, to say the least. Yes. So it's one of those things that I think I could get into, like, first cornerback taken or like first edge rusher taken or something like that. Like, because I think picking, like, unless you're, you know, betting on the number one or number two picks, because that, other than that, it's kind of a crapshoot. But like first, like, edge rusher taken, it's like, okay, maybe like that could, you could make that work a little less crazy, like,
maybe
that's a little bit easier to predict. But yeah, predicting like draft slot and stuff like that, that's just absolutely
crazy. Saying I'm betting Neighbors is going to the Giants.
That's just, you probably get great odds on it, you know, but it's pretty much taking your money, so whatever.
Imagine it hits though.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's how this works, you know. I just imagine I just cash that Neighbors ticket, you know, at 10 times my money, then we're rolling, you know.
And then if you're someone that does bet on the draft, you'll be, you know, only, you'll be less in the hole than you were before.
Imagine being that guy making that bet and then watching them trade down. Then you're like, oh my God. Or just imagine them saying, hey, you know what? JJ McCarthy is the quarterback of the future.
There you go. I mean, whatever you need to do. Yeah. Whatever you need to do to make it work. But guys, we got a live mock draft for you. We got Eric here to help us conduct this one. And I've got a simulation fired up for us. So let's check in. Okay, yes, everything appears to be working here. So just to clue everyone in, we are going to go through all seven rounds here. We will consider a trade at pick 8, just because I think we all agree that the Falcons are probably going to trade down. I mean, Fontenot made it abundantly clear that he wants to, and that they're having a lot of conversations about it. So, I mean, again, there's so many players that teams want, you know. I guess, who was it? Was it Jeremiah today that tweeted out, like, everyone wants to move for offensive tackle. And then, like, everyone's been talking about the third receiver, and that's notwithstanding that, you know, possibly the fourth quarterback falls for some reason. So, like, in any of those situations, and one of those situations will happen,
I think someone's trying to trade up.
So
I think it could be interesting that we don't see a defensive player go in the top 10.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time that happened. Yeah.
Especially if the Falcons trade up.
Yeah.
And that's a possibility. And that would be, I think that would be a testament to how this draft is overall, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to it. Let me read you guys the first seven picks here. Caleb Williams, 1. No surprises there, right? Drake May, 2. Jaden Daniels, 3. So the Patriots stick and pick there. I do think ultimately they will pick the quarterback, because I don't know that anyone's going to come with a better enough of an offer.
I would just swap them though.
Yeah, it does seem like Daniels is probably going to go 2, but and then pick 4. The AI won't trade in this. Also, just so you guys know, I do think we're going to get, you know, probably someone either going up to 4 or 5, probably the Vikings. But for the purposes of this, there aren't any other trades. But we get Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, tackle Joe All at 5 to the Chargers, and then the Giants, you know, praising the simulation because no one can trade up in front of them and take a quarterback. The Giants take JJ McCarthy.
That's the
fourth quarterback. Yep.
See, you put your money on Neighbors, I tell you.
And then with Joe All off the board, the Titans take Malik Neighbors at 7. So that leaves, of course, Roma Dunze as the third receiver left on the board. as well as Brock Bowers and DeJean, and then all of the edge rushers and all that stuff. So if the Falcons were trying to pick here at 8, you know, I imagine we'd be considering, obviously, Adunze is the best player available, but, you know, probably looking at the edge rushers. But, you know, obviously, there's potential for teams to want to trade up. And the one that I think we all were talking about pre-show, in the interest of not, you know, taking up an enormous amount of time, is the one that I think we've seen connected a lot, and potentially floated, which is the Raiders trading up from 13. And the Raider, the reason I like the Raiders to do this is because they have the ammunition that the Broncos and the Jets do not have, which is a second round pick in this draft. The other teams would all have to be trading future seconds, or they'd have to be trading thirds plus, you know, other. And I think the Falcons would probably value that second more. But I'm curious what you guys think about that potential trade. So that would be the Falcons going back to 13 and picking up 13 and 44 from the Raiders.
I'd be all about it. I'd be all for it. And also, I think the Falcons are one of the teams that will benefit most from JJ McCarthy's rapid ascension up the draft board since the, you know, college football season ended, because the quarterback tax, we've talked about it before. I think I mentioned it every single show this time of year. You have four quarterbacks that go, you know, ahead of 8. And if JJ McCarthy is there at 8, that would be immense for a trade down, because then you have that bidding war. You have, you know, of course, the Vikings. You do have the Raiders. You have these teams that not only are looking to trade up, but they're looking to trade up for a quarterback. And that's more expensive just, you know, by the fact that it's a quarterback. I'd love to pocket an extra second round pick in this draft to move back 5 spots. Are you kidding me? Like, look at these guys on the board. Like, there are multiple players I would be thrilled with right now. It's not like Laiatu Latu is the only player that you want, and then if you trade back, you're probably not going to get him. There's other good alternatives. I would love that. And also, you know, Falcons are probably going to get hit with some tampering pretty soon. So,
alleged tampering on.
loading up with some extra draft picks is never a bad idea anyway, but especially for this team, I think maybe that cloud of the tampering allegations is maybe going to push them even a little bit to try to, get some extra picks. Maybe not even this year, but maybe that's next season as well. But yeah, I would love a move back from 8 to 13 while getting an extra second round pick for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And Eric, curious what you think about that potential move as well.
It's, to me, it's ideal to trade back with the Raiders and get that pick, because they would end up, as you mentioned, they would end up getting 44, which would allow them to pick back to back in round 2. The whole tampering thing. We'll see the alleged tampering. We'll see what comes from that. But I think there are rumblings that if there is some type of punishment coming down, it won't happen until next year, which is a blessing in disguise, to be quite honest with you. So that makes me want to trade down even more, because now I can trade down and accumulate more picks and still keep my 2/3 that I have already. Mm-hmm. I do think they'll have their suitors at 8. The Raiders are not just the only one, as you mentioned, the Broncos. Yeah. I think the Broncos could be a team that could be desperate enough to trade up for a quarterback if the right one is available. They have nothing, as you guys have seen over the last few weeks. They have nothing to build around offensively outside of Cortland Sutton. So they're going to have to take a quarterback whether they want to or not. So I think it is possible that the Falcons could be trading out of that 8 spot. The Jets are a team at 10 to kind of sort of keep an eye on as well. Don't sleep on the Colts. I think the Colts is another team that could definitely pull the trigger if a Brock Bowers is available and they want to go get him. But that's probably no further than I would want to fall. I don't think I want to go past 15.
Yeah, exactly. That one's just a little bit riskier because the Saints are one of those teams that could take an edge rusher. I mean, I don't think it's likely now, especially now with the news that James Hurst is retiring too. Yeah, so their offensive line needs are just extreme. But They're one of the teams for sure. And like the other than that, though, you mentioned like the Bears maybe are a team for edge, and maybe the Broncos if they get forced to pick at 12 and can't get their quarterback. But you know, if you go down to 13, you're not really afraid that you're going to miss out on the edge rushers. You may, at worst, you're going to have the third one. And maybe they just prefer Byron Murphy there. I think the interest is legitimate, obviously. Yeah. And real quick before we, and the Colts are a team that is interested in trading up with the Falcons in this simulation as well. You know, I think that compensation would be a second round pick and probably something like a fourth rounder, with the Falcons like sending like one of their six rounders probably back to the Colts. So they get a second and a fourth maybe for that. But
that's, that second will be where? That's in the 50s,
it's 46.
Right?
It's 46. So it's only a couple picks down. So it's pretty similar to the
You want to trade down seven spots just to only be drafting a couple spots down in the second round. Like is it worse?
And you get like a fourth out of it too.
And you get an added fourth. So that will put us at 2 fourths.
Yeah.
So 2 seconds, 2 thirds, 2 fourths.
Yeah, and then you probably send like 197 back. But you know, me, I just like to get rid of those late picks. But
yeah,
take it, please.
It'll save us some time on that Saturday show.
Yes, it will. I'm thinking through every aspect of this. But
so, what do you guys think?
I think the Raiders when we do, because I think that's the most likely. I agree with you that the Colts is definitely one to watch. And I think the Raiders is simpler. You know, we don't have to do as many like machinations with deciding the compensation. You know,
Could you see if you can get a fourth from them? Because I think that fourth is 112, which is still fairly early in the fourth.
The Raiders, I mean, they won't do the fourth. I've done this before. They'll do the second, but they won't do the fourth because the second is already actually kind of high on the trade value chart. Like it's already overpaying according to the trade value chart. And we know like that the chart's not gospel. You know, it's not. It's more, I think it's more accurate the further down the draft order you go. But
okay.
So yeah, probably just the second is all we would get to move down to 13. But yeah, I think we'll go ahead and do that and just see what we're left looking at 13, see if any sort of curveballs get in. And yes, I'm going to force this trade to go through, guys. I'm not having any shenanigans with the Raiders getting pissy. So I have the power. Okay, we're doing this. But all right. So the Falcons do officially trade down in this simulation from 8 to 13. And while we let that load up.
I think this would be strictly for a quarterback for the Raiders.
I think so. They, Penix.
They can't go into the season with Aiden O'Connell.
No. They want Penix, apparently. Yeah, it sounds like they want Penix. They and the Broncos, that interdivisional rivalry for Penix. But like the Broncos are in a bad spot because they can't fit a second.
The Broncos are a terrible place now.
So like they can't bid a second.
Russell Wilson 30 something million this year to not.
Jeez. You have no money. You don't have any premium picks.
Thank God the Falcons address quarterback in the agency because I would be sweating right now.
Oh,
even at 8, like, I don't want Penix at 8. I damn sure don't want Bo Nix at 8.
That would be scary to be having that conversation tonight instead of talking about all the things we're going to potentially get here. But yes. All right. So before I get to pick 13 real quick, George Costanza had a take on 8 with the $2. Thank you, George. And also shout out to George for donating the four $50 NFL Shop gift cards that we're going to be giving away during tomorrow's, the draft party, one each day. And then we'll have a fourth card just for the patrons and channel members. So if you want a really good shot at I think there's like a combined 50 patrons and channel members. So if you want an excellent chance at getting an NFL Shop gift card, like a 1 in 50, you could sign up for the Patreon or the channel members before that day. And then that one card is just for those guys. But the other three, that's just open to anyone that joins the draft party. And there's like a couple of little things you have to do to make sure we can get you the card. But one of them is subscribing to the channel on YouTube. So if you haven't done that already, you can check that box right now. But shout out to George. And George says he's now officially changing his prediction to Quinyon Mitchell at 8. Okay, he's coming around to my Toledo brethren, Quinyon Mitchell. He says he would like them to take J.C. Latham or Talisi Fuller. Joe Alt has been like George's guy this year, Eric.
Joe Alt is my guy too, George, but he's not going to be there, unfortunately.
He's not going to make it. Yeah, but he's saying because we invested $100 million in a quarterback, you should invest in protecting him. I think the D will be fine this season. because Ritter and Arthur Smith sucked the life out of the defense. I mean, yeah, I do think there's some, you know, potential, like the offense just being better will help the defense. We know that can happen. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's absolutely in play, along with Byron Murphy, as kind of like those dark horse guys for sure. But yeah, so here, the best available guys, according to PFF's board, we got Cooper DeJean here. We actually do see two corners and Dallas Turner go. Interestingly enough, the Jets took Dallas Turner, which does seem extremely Jets, because they just randomly took Will McDonald last year also when they absolutely didn't need him. And he was like the sixth edge rusher in their rotation. It was pretty silly. But at any rate, the Falcons have a lot of choices here. Cooper DeJean, I think this is a little early for him, though. He is my corner three. So, I mean, I think this is fair to where he's being considered. But Laiatu Latu is on the board here. Byron Murphy and Jerzon Newton as well. We also got most of the tackles, J.C. Latham, Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fatanu, Olufoshanu, all those type of guys. But and of course, Jared Verse also. But I think I know where we're probably going to go here, at least what Anand and I typically have done. But Eric, I'm curious of these guys that are available. What's your sort of favorite from the names?
Man, I'm a huge Jared Verse fan. I think he just has what it takes as an edge rusher to get it done from day one. I think he's the most NFL-ready edge rusher in the draft. 6'4", close to 260. Very good get-off for someone his size, running 1.6 in a 10-yard split at the NFL Combine. Led FSU in sacks the last 2 years after transferring. Has been productive his entire collegiate career. It wasn't as if he was just a rando at Albany. Like, no, he was all conference player there too. So I love Verse. I think Verse is the best pass rusher in the draft, in my opinion. But right now, speaking of putting money on bets, I think Latu's the guy. I think it all goes back to the whole Jimmy Lake thing, the Jimmy Lake relationship. Jimmy Lake recruited him and coached him during his time at Washington. Then he had a medical retire because of his injuries that could have stopped his career as a whole. But I think that tie there is will make Latu a Falcon when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I know there's some fans that are like, oh, well, you know, Jimmy Lake personally medically retired him, so he will want nothing to do. No, Jimmy, I guarantee you, Jimmy Lake did not want Latu to be medically retired at all. Like, he was probably furious when that was the diagnosis.
The doctors medically retired.
Yes, it's the doctor's fault. We're going to blame the doctors. But I do agree. Those medicine men, you can't trust them. It was probably Saints voodoo, you know, for being honest. But Laiatu Latu, it seems like that's what people have coalesced around, and that's kind of the way that I think I've felt it's been going, probably like almost since his athletic testing at the combine. I feel like things changed, because I feel like Turner was kind of the consensus. He's going to go top because he's the best athlete and he has the highest ceiling. And in a lot of ways, Turner does check the boxes that the Falcons have typically looked for because of the length, you know, that he's got the great athletic testing. But I think,
Let me ask you guys a question real quick. So when it comes to Latu and Penix as well, they're in the same boat because they have these medical issues that are arguably their biggest deficiency, their biggest red flag. But you can actually make a case that ever since their medical woes, they played so much better. Like, their best football came after, you know, those major medical injuries. You know, Penix had those ACL injuries, transferred to Washington, had the two best years of his career. Latu had the medically retired in 2021, came back in the last 2 years, 32 tackles for loss, 23 and a half sacks. So I'm wondering, like, okay, when it comes to these, how much of a hindrance is it really? Like,
I don't think it's a hindrance. Yeah. Since- no, exactly.
I mean, we've had medical advances are insane now versus 2-3 decades ago when a torn ACL ends your career. But we do also have to consider that, you know, I feel like normally players are better, like, as they are later along in their college careers as well. So we do have to consider that versus, you know, the injury stuff. With the injury stuff with these two guys specifically, I have no idea. Like, the teams have the medicals. We don't. We can just go off of, you know, we can just assume that they're all going to be all clear, and hopefully they are. Hopefully they both you know, don't have those issues moving forward. But for me, I feel like if the team drafts either of those guys, I'm just going to assume the medicals are completely okay, because there's no way a GM is.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I don't think a GM is going to put, you know, sort of his job on the line for a guy who could medically just be, you know, pulled away later on. Not in the top 10 at least.
Yeah,
exactly. And the thing with Latu that I have heard is that most teams have him on their board and they're not concerned about the neck fusion. There are some teams that are concerned. It's not the majority, but there are some. So take from that what you will. I don't know which camp the Falcons are in. So I'm just going off of what I feel like makes sense. And I think Latu makes so much sense for them. All that stuff considered, you know, I do think that Latu is, if he's on their board, I think he's the one that they're going to go after. I think that just makes the most sense to me. But I will say, like, Byron Murphy, I think if they have concerns about Latu and there are the injury concerns and he's, like, flagged on their board, I think it could be Byron Murphy. Like, I do think, you know, after Dallas, like, I like Jared Verse too, Eric. I just think that I wonder if they think his ability to stand up, you know, and that sort of thing, which they're going to want the edges to do a lot in the scheme. Maybe that matters. Maybe that doesn't. I just sort of feel like they might care more about that. But you know me, I was like big Jared Verse guy last year. I was like all about him. I wish he'd come out then. But I don't know if they view him as an ideal scheme fit. And that's the only thing that gives me pause on Verse. It's not the talent or anything else about him. But I will say that I do think the Byron Murphy stuff is not like a complete smokescreen. I think it depends on whether or not they have flagged Latu Latu or not. And if they have, it wouldn't shock me if they went after Byron Murphy. And I know, Joe Schmo, I know you had a big comment that you left. I haven't had a chance to respond to it because I've been so swamped. But, you know, that this scheme and Lake and Morris and these guys have typically prioritized that interior pass rush while sort of filling in specialists at the edge. And I think there's definitely some evidence for that. You know, I don't know for sure that that's what they want to do here in Atlanta, but I think there's some evidence that they've done that before. So we'll see. And Stephen B, I don't think that the fact that Latu Latu is from the West Coast has any bearing on whether the Falcons draft him or not. I'm sorry. I don't think that's part of the eval. I think he can survive in Atlanta. I think he'll be okay, especially when he's got his former college coach here. So
I mean, most of the coaching staff is from the West Coast.
Yeah, I think Raheem looks all right to me. He looked fine when he was here a couple years ago. Yeah, so.
He'll be fine. Players can adjust.
But they'll survive.
Latu's the pick. I like him, man. Real refined, more athletic than a lot of people give him credit for. And you throw on the tape, he can rush in a variety of ways from both left and right end. Drops back in coverage every so often. Had two picks this past year. One of them was a pick six. The kid is a freak of nature, man.
Hell of a technician too. Like,
That's what I love.
Has the counter moves. It's not a big situation where it's all right. You're just going to speed rush, and then after lineman adjusts, you're just screwed. Like it's, I feel like him and Arnold Ebiketie, who hopefully will. And, you know, have more of an opportunity this year than he did last. He still led the team in sacks last year, I think. I feel like what we could, you know, actually start forming a real pass rush for the first time in a decade.
Yeah.
I like that tandem a lot. I know Turner's been the guy. Turner's more of a speed rusher at this point, and he's more of a project of the three at this point as well. The one thing that I don't love about him, I mean, he has length. He's only six. He measures out at 6'2", and it's kind of like an awkward frame.
He's like Arnold Ebiketie. He has a very similar build to Ebiketie.
For the most part, yeah. He's just quicker.
Yeah, he is. He's a better athlete. Yeah.
But Latu fills it out at 6'4", 260. So he's every bit of it. So
he was 269 at his pro day when he ran those crazy three cone and shuttle too.
And
so
he looked like a goddamn receiver out there.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. I swear. So Latu's a bet, like, he's not as explosive as Dallas Turner. I don't think there's any defensive line prospect, period, in this class that's explosive as Dallas Turner. No one's arguing that. But I think Latu, the whole player, is better. And that's at this stage. Turner could be the best of the best at some point in his career. That would not shock me. But I think we're gonna go with Latu here. And people, like, I've had so many people say, like, oh, Latu's just another undersized edge rusher. He's the biggest one. He's like as big as Jared Verse.
260 is not
undersized. He's 260. Yeah. He's not undersized at all. I don't know where that's coming from. Yeah. But
I don't get it. But
he doesn't. Yeah. It's because he moves so well. They think he's undersized. Yeah.
That's like saying that he's just like Tack McKinley because they both went to UCLA.
Oh, yeah. I've seen plenty of that already. Jesus. When last time we drafted UCLA? Like, come on, man. Who gives a shit? Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's the same argument of, oh, never draft an Ohio State, like, quarterback. Oh, yeah. You missed out on CJ Stroud last year.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree. All right. So the Falcons are going to be up here. Back-to-back picks, 43 and 44 after that trade down with Vegas, which is really cool. We always love that. We've got some interesting guys here to consider. Obviously, top of the board, Peyton Wilson. I don't think they're going to go after Peyton Wilson because of the medicals. I know there's some people that think, again, similar to Latu. I think I've heard more people worried about Wilson's medicals.
Really?
Yeah. But because, like, with Latu, and this is what I forgot to say about Latu. With Latu, it's like, it's either going to affect him or not. Like, it's either going to cause him to retire eventually, or it probably won't have any effect at all. Like, it's like the neck fusion holds or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, he's probably going to have to retire. But if it does, then it's not going to have any repercussions whatsoever. Whereas Wilson, I think there's more concern about, you know, is it going to be a recurring thing with him? I mean, some of his stuff is bad luck. Some of this always is. But I don't think they're going to prioritize linebacker this high no matter what. I mean, considering they have three linebackers at this point. But I do know there's people concerned about Peyton Wilson's medicals. Tyler Newbin's here. Love it. Always love it. We have back-to-back picks, so we're going to be picking two guys here. Michael Penix Jr. is here, but I really think there's like a 0% chance he actually makes it to the second round based on everything we've heard. So I'm probably not going to consider him, even though I think the Falcons would definitely consider him here. And on Michael Penix, I know people are worried the Falcons are going to take him at 8. Don't worry about that. Now, if they trade down and do a bunch of stuff and they get into the late teens or whatever, then it becomes more realistic. I think the interest from the Falcons in Penix is legit, but I think all this like buzz that they like want to take him early is more of a smokescreen. Like, I think they actually do like him, and I think they are interested in him, and they also recognize that he's more of like a late first round type of quarterback, but that they're really, like, honestly, they're doing him a favor by kind of hyping him up and trying to get him drafted earlier, trying to get teams to bite on maybe trading up to 8 for him and that sort of thing, and making it seem like, oh, we're interested in a quarterback here, so you're going to have to increase your price. You know, will that pan out? I don't know, but I wouldn't worry too much about this being the pick at 8.
Also, I know age isn't always – age is sometimes overblown, but you are committed to Kirk Cousins for at least 2 years. Like, that's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, given the guarantees of that contract, the structure of it. Penix is already, what, 24? So he's going to have to sit for 2 years, in theory, if the Falcons take him. He's going to have to sit for two years, takes away 2 years of his rookie contract. And, you know, then all of a sudden he'll be 26, which, you know, is the pure prime of some quarterbacks likely never having taken a real snap outside of garbage time. So, it just doesn't make sense. Like, if he was 21, 22, maybe. But yeah. I do feel like age does play a part here in this specific scenario.
Yeah. All
also,
right,
I don't think he's like good enough to go top 10. I'm sorry.
It's okay. This is a space to share your draft takes. This is the final draft show. So, you know, either our takes will age poorly in the next 24 hours or we'll be completely proven right. And then everyone will forget about it in a couple of days. So it'll be fine. But okay, let's see what we got here. So we got Tyler Newbin at safety. Eric, how do you feel about Newbin? I'm like a huge Newbin fan, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on how big a need safety is for this Falcons team.
Oh, man. You know what? Newbin has been a playmaker for Minnesota the last couple of years. He's definitely not in the Antoine Winfield mold in terms of being that undersized safety, but he kind of sort of fits the frame of a modern day strong safety.
He's big, yeah. He's bigger than people realize.
Yeah, he's a big cat. But again, he was really very instinctual, a little bit more instinctual than you would think when you put his film on. And every so often when Minnesota needed a play on defense, Tyler Newbern was there to make one. I think he's perfect for Buffalo, what they want and the holes that they have at safety. I think he's perfect. If he falls into their lap, they should pull the trigger immediately.
I just feel like they need a wide receiver so bad, they just like can't.
yeah.
They're
probably going to take one in the first round. It's just dependent on where. But I think in round two, sitting there at 60, if he's still available at 60 or even in a small trade up, I think they should go get him.
Yeah, no, I love Noob. And I think getting like a cheap rookie safety in here to pair with Jesse Bates, so you can have a good safety duo locked up for one expensive contract and one cheap contract for a long time, it makes a lot of sense. But we got two picks back to back, so safety could be one.
And both are ahead of the Saints too.
So, yeah, you know. Exactly. It's really, this works out so well in so many ways.
There's no quarterback on the board.
Penix is, but I think we all kind of agreed that I don't know if Nix is here too. That would be hilarious if Nix was gone. Nix is gone and Penix is still here. That's pretty funny.
So we're in agreement that Penix is probably not here.
Yeah. So I was not going to entertain that, but if he is here, I think they would definitely take him. Honestly,
receivers? Any receivers are here?
So we got Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall.
Roman Wilson, but I don't know if they want to like go with another.
Is Ladd available?
No, Ladd's gone.
If Ladd was available, we take him. Like,
right yeah, now. We got to hit reach that dog quota. You understand, Eric? We got to do that somehow, but. Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, and Jalen Polk are the three that are probably in consideration here at receiver. I typically wait to the third round just because I love Malik Washington. I have a Malik Washington agenda that I must fulfill, but you guys can override that if you want. But we got Braden Fisk also here. Love Braden Fisk. He was absolutely unstoppable at the Senior Bowl. A lot of corners, a couple corners here that we don't always see. Ennis Rakestraw is actually still available, and TJ Tampa too, who I really like. So those guys could definitely be in consideration. Let's see what else we got. Chris Jenkins on the interior, if they're looking for that nose. Jaden Hicks at safety is also here, but I probably wouldn't take him over Newbin, but, and then if they wanted to like double dip on edge, like Adisa Isaac still here. Marshawn Neyland, that sort of thing. But
what interior lineman? Interior D.
Braden Fisk, Chris Jenkins. Let's see who else. Braden Fisk, Chris Jenkins, and those are probably the only two I consider in the second. Dorlis and Ororo are further down.
I like Jenkins here. I like him a lot higher than most. I think he's someone that can truly come in and learn the ropes and soak in everything behind Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. I mean, he was a team captain over at Michigan, so he was a locker room guy. And his dad is a former NFL player as well, so he has some lineage there. I think, Falcons fans are a little familiar with the name Chris Jenkins to a certain extent. But I kind of like him here, and I think they want to add on the interior. Yeah. Because while Grady and Onyemata are a very, very good pairing, they're up in age. They're both in their 30s. So it's time to start thinking about getting the next in line there. And I think I would like Chris Jenkins here. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But
I certainly don't mind it. I think I go more for like Fisk as like the pass rusher. But like, I mean, I think Chris Jenkins is definitely in consideration in this range. This is about where I expect him to go. To me, I just have, it's tough because like I have a hard time passing on corner. Well, when we only had 44, one pick in the second
one
round,
secondary. Yeah. We need at least one secondary player. I my personal preference is to lean actually even toward two here, with both TJ Tampa and Newbin.
Oh yeah, we could double up in the secondary. Yeah, we could do like Newbin and Tampa or Newbin and Rakestraw.
Yeah. Like I definitely don't mind going interior defensive lineman for sure, but yeah, I mean the secondary needs to be addressed. Like it absolutely, and even if we don't address it with both picks, if we address it with just one, we'll probably need to address it later on down the line in this draft as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to whatever. You know, I think at this point, like, Newbin's the highest rated secondary player for me left, so I'd probably lean Newbin, and then we can decide if we would rather go for, like, interior D-line or corner with the second pick. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but...
I would have been fine with going at least going corner here around two. Yeah. I think safety is something that we can actually wait on, to be quite honest.
But
if you wanted to pull the trigger on Newbin, that's fine. I'm cool with it. But I do think the fact that you're drafting 43 and 44, you can get a pair of starters right here on defense.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You can address all three levels within the first 44 picks. So.
All right, let's see. Well, let's start with Newbin, and then what do you think? I guess I slightly lean corner, but Adnan, why don't you be the tiebreaker? Would you rather go for the interior or for corner here?
I mean, personally I would go corner. I mean, we do need interior.
We do.
But the good news is here that we do have two third rounders as well. So
we do.
No matter what we get. Like, this is the beauty of just
Eric comes so on and we just instantly override his opinion. Just like, Eric, no. Yeah. Like,
you know, because Eric is the guest, I'll go defensive line. Let's roll a defensive line. But
look at Chris Abrams' brain. We can go corner because in round three,
the next pick, if there's a good interior defensive line, we're taking interior D line. There's no question. Yeah.
Round three, I'm thinking going all offense, and I'll let you know when we get there.
Okay. Well, so I mean, you're like, you know, you're acquiescing to our cornerback demands then.
You know? Yeah.
Okay, I'm good with collaborating. This is collaboration. Yeah.
Okay. I'm good with taking a corner.
we held you hostage to make you pick corner. But do you guys want Rakestraw or TJ Tampa? That's the other question.
Rakestraw's the better playmaker. Not in love with Tampa's speed, his long speed. Definitely could play man and end zone, but I kind of sort of like Rakestraw a little bit better.
Other issue with Tampa here is Newbin's already, you know, a little slower.
Yeah.
So
I do have Rakestraw like a little bit higher. He's usually not here, so that's why we've usually gone with Tampa. But
also, I got what I wanted with corner. I'll let Eric lock in which of the corners to take.
Yeah, you like Rakestraw, Eric? Well, we'll let you pick the corner.
I'll take Rakestraw.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Since we forced you into this, you can pick this. This is what a real draft room looks like. We just like twisted his arm. You know? All right. Okay, so we're at pick 74 here. Oh, Marshawn Nealon's still here. Pick 74. Spicy. Speaking of defensive interior, Brandon Dorlus still here. We did see Ruka Roro go just a few picks earlier. Let's see what else we got. Spencer Rattler. This is my mock draft. I'm not taking Spencer Rattler, guys. I'm sorry. No, you can if you want. If you want, Eric. Was this the other offensive pick you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So do you like Rattler?
Yes.
Okay.
I like Rattler a lot.
Sell me on Rattler, because I'm just kind
I know
of like,
a lot of people. I know a lot of people are looking at the round and saying and putting him in the same bucket as Desmond Ridder. And let me go ahead and burst that bubble right now. Desmond Ridder and Spencer Rattler are not the same quarterback, okay? However you feel about Spencer Rattler is one thing. But one thing that we all in consensus can agree on is that he has an NFL arm. And for someone like himself, who has already been in a situation where he had to take a step back and watch from afar, this is a similar situation that he can step into now, where he can come in, sit behind Kirk Cousins, watch for 2 years, and he will be ready to go. I'm a true believer in Spencer Rattler. He transferred from Oklahoma to South Carolina. The numbers were not that great, but I think part of that is because of the talent level that was dropped off from Oklahoma to South Carolina.
Yep.
Not much on Rattler himself. I think Rattler is worth a shot here. They've met with him. They've had private workouts with him. I think he is on their radar for sure. They need to take a quarterback in this draft. It doesn't have to be at 8, but they need to get the guy next in line.
Yeah.
And I think Spencer Rattler's that guy. So I am 100% here on Spencer Rattler.
I agree that they're probably going to take Spencer Rattler. Like, I think they're going to take Spencer Rattler. That's my honest opinion. I did it in my final predictive mock. I don't love it. I just, like, to me, he kind of feels like Taylor Heinicke a little bit.
Jesus, heaven.
A little bit. Just in that he's small. Now, actually, Taylor Heinicke is a better athlete, but I think Rattler has a better arm, obviously. I do think Rattler has upside. And I like his maturity too. Like, I think people like think of his, you know, flaming out at Oklahoma and all that stuff, and they just think that's who Rattler is. And he's actually matured and grown a lot as a quarterback. He has, and he impressed a lot of people at the Senior Bowl with his maturity and that atmosphere. And
he's not Senior Bowl MVP or something like that.
Yeah. Yes, he was. So Rattler's not this like gunslinger, loose cannon guy. That's not really his style anymore. That's just like what he started off with. And yes, if we're trying to be somewhat predictive, I like do believe that they will take Spencer Rattler if he's here. That being said, I love Marshawn Nealand, and he's available here as well. But we have other things to consider too. I know a lot of people have mentioned Spencer Van Pran. I've never actually sent Spencer Van or Cedric, not Spencer, Cedric Van Pran. I've never actually sent Cedric Van Pran to the Falcons this year. I did last year before he announced he was going back to school.
Right.
But them going after another center is not crazy at all. And I think this is, if they're really looking for a successor to Drew Dahlman, that's going to be cheaper. I think Van Pran is an option, for sure. A good option. And it would fill the dog quota that we desperately need to fill. So, you know, there's also that angle to it.
The most important thing in this mock is to get at least one Georgia Bulldog.
Yes, that is the requirement.
We were until you guys took a safety. But
yeah, that's true. I ruined it. Yeah, but I don't even know. I don't even know if Javon Bullard's still here.
I have my eyes on Bullard.
He's not. He's not still here.
Either Bullard or Tyke Smith. I have my eyes on both of them.
Yep. All right. Well, what do you think on that? Because we're going to pick at 74 and then again at 79. Spencer Rattler usually goes to the Broncos. So if we don't take him here, the Broncos will probably take him at 76. Unless they took Knicks at the top. Let me check on that. They did not. Okay. Somebody took Knicks somewhere. I don't know who took Bo Nix. Who did? Oh, the Rams at 19 took Bo Nix. That is so weird.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rams at 19.
Yeah, they took Bo Nix. That's hilarious. This is really injecting the randomness of real draft.
Yeah, this is random.
Yeah, the real draft is like that, though. There's just like those, like, what? They did that? That's actually more realistic in some ways.
You know, this is Sean McVay's first round pick in his entire career.
I know. He's just sweating. He doesn't know what to do with it.
No idea what they're going to get. Something tells me they're going to be aggressive as shit.
He normally has those Thursdays off. Now he's like, damn, I have to work.
I have to come in today.
Right.
Yeah. What's the facility tonight?
Yes. Well, I don't know if you saw, but in the SB Nation draft, the Rams writer called me to trade up from 19. So I did.
They have a dozen picks.
Yeah. So I they gave me their 2025 first and 83 as well as 19. So, and then I got Latu at 19 and everything was, you know, amazing. So, that if that could happen, I'm open to that as well. But that's
I've always felt like the Rams would be an intriguing partner to trade with, of course, because of the connections with Morris. But yeah. I just didn't want to go that far down.
Yeah, you know, we can work on that. We can work on that. But we've done a lot of third round wide receivers. We've done a lot of third round safeties. We've done a lot of third round
receiver. There's another one. There's another receiver in the third round. I have my own. I'm sorry, guys. I feel like this plan is for offense.
Okay.
The mocks that I've done, I've saved everything offensively until round three.
Okay. Well, who's the receiver you like in round
two? Javon Baker.
Yeah. Yeah.
They love Javon Baker. They've met with him multiple times as well. He's starting to get a rise in his draft stock. He's probably going to be a third rounder, maybe early, maybe sneak into that bottom half of the second, depending on how the wide receiver class goes. But I love Javon Baker in this spot. That kid is everything you want a receiver to be. Tough, confident. Yeah, he's a little arrogant. Most receivers are.
That's required for a wide receiver.
Right, that's required. Yeah, exactly. Strong hands, doesn't have great separation skills, but you know what? With his size and his ability to go get the football, he doesn't necessarily need it because he wins his fair share of battles. I just love Javon Baker here.
Oh yeah, but Jason Gaines brings up a good point on that too. We got to fill my UCF Knights quota as well.
How many quotas do we have?
We have a lot of quotas. There's a lot of spinning plates that we got to keep
this
in the air.
This is Georgia and UCF, right?
Yeah, the one mock draft you didn't know you needed, the UCF Knights Georgia collab.
If there's ever a coach that I think will meet that Georgia quota, it could be Raheem Morris.
It could. He knows.
He knows this community. He knows.
He understands. He knows the assignment.
We need championship pedigree on this team. The reason why the Falcons have been winning a lot is because they haven't gotten enough Georgia Bulldogs.
That's clearly the answer. It's not anything else. Definitely not. Jesus. It's not all the other problems with this team. not the scroll of all the problems. Yeah.
I'm willing to meet in the middle here. I'm willing to go two offensive players. I'm not a big fan of Rattler in the third round either. I'm not a big fan of any quarterback in the third round.
Why?
Because I just don't like – I don't like taking quarterbacks in the third round just in general. I don't think the hit rate has been very good on that. Because for every Russell Wilson, there's 10 Kellen Mons. For every Dak Prescott, there's, 15 Desmond Ridders. I feel like this team has too many holes right now to spend a pick on a quarterback in day two. It feels like a bit of a luxury right now.
Okay.
But
I think they will take him if he's here. Also, even though I don't personally like
him. What I think and what the Falcons are going to do, two different things.
Yeah.
I think if he's there in the third round, they do take him. But for the sake of this, I am down to go two offensive players here. I'm fine with Baker for sure, and I'm good with Cedric Van Prent. I spoke about my reluctance with taking a tackle on some of our patron mock drafts just because I kept bringing up the point that if you take a tackle, you have to have him beat out Storm Norton, who was very, very good last year, who was one of the best swing tackles in the NFL. And if he cannot beat out Storm Norton, then it's sort of a waste of a pick. But Cedric Van Prent would be an interior offensive lineman. I do not think that the depth on this team, on the interior of the offensive line, is as good as it is when it comes to the tackles themselves. Because you have to beat out Ryan Neuzel. And, no offense to Ryan Neuzel, but,
I so, like Ryan. Newsflash. Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah. Hey. I'll have Evan come up behind me and hit me with a shovel if I there say anything about Ryan Neuzel again.
That's right.
But I'm fine with going with the center as well here, or with an interior offensive lineman, even if it is on day two. Because I do think that the offensive line, I really like it, but I don't like the depth on the interior of the offensive line, especially with Matt Hennessy gone.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Okay. So okay, Eric, who would you rather have if you had to choose between Spencer Rattler and Javon Baker, which one would you rather see come to the Falcons? Yes. That's a tough call. I know. So
Rattler.
Okay. Well, let's do Spencer Rattler. And we'll see if Baker makes it to 79. Then we could have a conversation about going him or SVP. But I do agree. Like, they're probably going to take Spencer Rattler.
I think they're going to take him too.
So, like, if in the interest of getting some picks right on this live mock draft, I'm going to take Spencer Rattler. But This is like a hybrid predictive and slash, you know.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't even know if Rutler's going to be there in the third
round.
I don't.
Yeah, it's exactly right. He may not. That's kind of why I didn't really entertain Marshawn Nealon, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be long gone.
I don't think Nealon would be. Yeah. Nealon's not. He's not falling out of the second.
Because think of how many teams need quarterbacks just in general. Like, we talked about the Raiders. We talked about, you know, the Broncos. We talked about, and then there is a bunch of teams, you know, like the Falcons, with these veteran quarterbacks who will want that, you know, quarterback to put behind them for a couple of years. If Rattler is there in the third round, like, yeah, you know, I'm not staunchly like dug in, you know, written in stone, you know, no quarterbacks. I can be talked into it. And I definitely think that the Falcons don't have to be talked into it if he's there in the third round. So, I mean, I'm fine with going Rattler here. And then we can see what we do with the other third rounder. Are we already on the clock?
Yeah, so Javon Baker is still here. So we could go that direction. I know we've talked about that, and they do have interest. I think that's a potential place that they do go. And, you know, I would definitely consider Malik Washington here as well. Different type of player, obviously, than Baker. More of that slot presence. And then, you know, I would consider Cedric Van Pran as well, just because the dog quota. No, also, he's really good. You know, that he's I think he's an NFL starting center. So what are we thinking? Do we want to go? I mean, I think Baker is definitely better value. I mean, just given his, like, he could be a potential second rounder. I think this is probably the low end of where he's going to go. But I do think they'll consider Van Pran here. I think they'll consider other guys that fall in this range, like Brandon Dorlus from Oregon. He's here. He's kind of an interesting, versatile interior guy. Eric, you're very much Team Baker, right?
Yes, I'm okay. Team Baker right here, man.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the way I lean to, just based on draft value. But Adnan, I'm curious if you lean Baker or if you have other preferences with this second, third rounder.
I mean, if we are looking at, you know, we do need to still fill some needs, and this team does still have that wide receiver need. So I'm more than okay going Baker. Because, like, right now the wide receiver room, after Drake London, is what, Mooney and Rondale Moore. Like, sure, they addressed it a little bit, but I still don't think it's sort of enough. I think they need to do more. I think they will do more. And yeah, going with another wide receiver, it'll make this, you know, a much better wide receiver room. And I'm pretty sure, you know, Kirk Cousins will be happy about it as well. So yeah, I'm fine. I'm completely okay with going offense here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do Javon Baker. I think that's another one that has a decent chance of actually happening. And then we'll wait for this to process. But yeah, for those that are just joining us now, the pick so far, we traded down to 13 with the Raiders to pick up an extra second round pick. So at 13, we took Laiatu Latu, who was still there. Then at 43, we took safety Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. At 44. Doubling up on the secondary, we took cornerback Ennis Rakestraw Jr. And at 74, we got the quarterback that the Falcons seem to be obsessed with getting, and quarterback Spencer Rattler there from South Carolina. Then at 79, we just took wide receiver Javon Baker from UCF. Charge on. All right, so pick 109. Let's see what we got here. So Michael Pratt, interestingly, is here. I don't think they've shown anywhere near as much interest in Pratt. I guess he's maybe the other sort of vaguely day three-ish guy they could consider. If we're still looking at center, Hunter Norzad from Penn State is definitely one to consider. He's definitely one of those potential starting center types here in the early day three sort of range. Let's see. Tight end, Jared Wiley, Cameron Kitchens from Miami. What do you? I know you're a big Miami. You're not a Miami guy, right? You're more of a. Are you a Miami guy, Eric? Am I getting you confused with somebody else?
Yes, I am. Okay, but this is way too low. Kitchens will not be here in the fourth round.
I agree. Yeah,
I will. Think he goes earlier. Yeah, I will make a parlay on that.
You would take that one. Yeah,
I will take that.
What are the odds? You could. What are the odds on that one, though?
I'm curious to know. I think he's a second rounder. I think he has a second round.
I think he's day two. I think he's day two for sure. Let's see. We got
is interior D line here. What does that look like?
Check it out. Tavondre Sweat after the DUI is in this range. Mekhi Wingo, Dwayne Carter, Mason Smith, Leonard Taylor III are all the guys still available.
I like Mason Smith a lot.
Yeah, he's interesting for sure. There's a chance we could get him in the fifth. I don't know. There's a chance. We also got Brennan Jackson at edge. He's interesting from Washington State. We got Tyke Smith to fill the dog quota.
We can fill the dog quota later. We got Newbin. I really like Hillams as a backup safety. I don't think we need a safety here.
Yeah. I guess he could be like a slot guy too, but Matt Goncalves, I think from Pittsburgh at tackle. Let's see.
So I was thinking, are you guys pondering at some point possibly getting someone to kind of sort of, I mean, and I know Adnan addressed a little bit earlier as far as the holes on the roster. But Jake Matthews is getting up there in age and he's entering a contract year next season. I want to say,
look it up. I think they did something with his deal. Yeah.
Should they consider addressing that at some point in the draft this year? Getting his heir apparent.
I feel like I would only address that very early. So if Joe Alt was there, I would take, I would take Alt at eight. Like I'm beating the drum for Joe Alt. I have been this whole time, but I don't know if a day three safety is really going to be, you know, the heir apparent for Jake Matthews. I feel like, or not safety, excuse me, tackle. I feel like with tackles, like that's one of those premium positions. And with this team in general, if you draft a tackle, one, I just talked about you, he will have to beat out Storm Norton, who was really good last year as either the swing tackle. Or if you grab someone like an Alt, he would need to be good enough to supplant Caleb McGarry, which I think Alt is. And then I think you can sort of get a bit frisky and look into moving McGarry for maybe a second rounder or whatever you can get for him. But I feel like with tackle, I do really like the idea of grabbing someone to replace Matthews, because I would much rather be proactive with that than, you know, get caught holding a bag with a poor left tackle. We saw how that worked out in 2013. But it has to be someone who's really, you know, realistically good enough to be your starting tackle for 10 years after Matthews retires.
Yeah, Matthews is officially here through 2026. So
was it next year where they have the out? I know there's an easy out. Right?
Yes, I believe next year they have an out if they want it.
Sure.
And this year, yeah. Let's see. Matthews. Okay, here we go. Yeah. So yeah, starting next year, they could just get out of the deal for, you know, about break even savings. They would save $9 million against the cap. And then 2026 is more or less like a extended team option year, you know, with about $15 million in cap savings. So they have two more years. I kind of agree with Adnan, and then I feel like at this range in the draft, they're more like, you're not really getting someone that's going to shake up your depth chart too much. And I think like next year, we're going to go into next year, like with the first round tackle as like a big need. But we'll see. We'll have to see what happens there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just wanted to kind of sort of toss it out there.
It's interesting.
But I'd much rather think at this point, I think the value at defensive tackle is too good to pass up at this point.
What about Sweat? Like, I think in this range, you're definitely getting a discount. And they need a nose tackle. They need a nose tackle.
Is this more so to have a backup in case Eddie Goldman says I'm out once again? Or
the very likely scenario. Fool me twice.
Because it's like, because you know what you're gonna get when you take a guy like Sweat. You know he's strictly a nose. especially in this particular defense, which means he's not going to see a ton of snaps this year if Eddie Goldman stays and actually plays this year. So it'll be interesting to see how he's deployed. But, I mean, the skill set is there. I see what you're saying, Kevin. Like,
he's got that juice that some that a lot of these names don't have too.
What is he even going to be on their board?
Right. Like, I don't know.
Right. Good question. I mean, because they're big on character. They're big on character in that locker room. So I mean, the skill set says this is a steal.
It is, and if it was me, I'm pulling the trigger there, but. You know, and I'm not someone who's going to condemn someone for making, you know, a bad mistake, you know, never drive drunk, DUI, not good. I'm not saying that, oh yeah, he shouldn't be in the league or anything, but I am saying that the Falcons themselves, I don't know if, I feel like something like that would take a player off of their board. We saw
it's possible.
I mean, we had the discussions last year with Carter. Yeah. Like he would have been, you know, I feel like he would have been the BPA there at 8 last season, and the Falcons passed up on him, took Bijan Robinson, and I can't help but think that, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe the off-the-field stuff did have something to do with that.
Maybe he would have been a pick if he didn't get into him. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I think
that's reasonable to think, because, again, Fontenot has addressed that publicly before, as far as character and how much that matters, and in some cases they will look at that before they look at a player's film. Right. So Sweat may not necessarily be on the board. Again, skill set says you pulled this trigger, you don't look back, but a DUI at this point, like, that's
right before the draft too, like the timing could not be worse.
Could not be any worse. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm here for Mason Smith at 109. I don't know how you.
What do you like about Mason Smith?
Well, he has this very intimidating frame, first and foremost. When you look at him, it reminds me. Remember when Sean Oakman was at Baylor, and Sean
went viral. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it's just that frame that when you look at him, you say he's definitely a football player. Like, he's one of the first players you're going to let off the bus, because you want people to see that 6'5", 315 pound frame. He fills it out, athletic. Really, really good play strength, powerful hands, a guy that can really move and win his fair share of battles. He just couldn't get on the field at LSU. Why? I'm not really sure, because it wasn't as if LSU has been cranking out interior defensive linemen over the last several years, but he had limited playing time early in his career. But I think he's a diamond in the rough. And again, you're not needing him to be a guy from day one. You just need him to soak up everything Grady Jarrett and Davey Onyemata does, and let him and Kentavious Street be that second set of defensive tackles coming in. Oh yeah. I love that.
Yeah. He's not someone I had considered here, but he is interesting.
I don't mind the idea of going after sort of a guy with a higher ceiling with those kinds of traits, who's sort of discounted here because, like Eric said, he didn't really get on the field. He suffered an injury a couple of years ago. So, you know, it feels like if more stuff broke his way, then, you know, we would probably be talking about him maybe as like a second rounder. Yeah. But, you know, rolling the dice on someone like that in the fourth, like, I wouldn't mind it at all, especially someone who you wouldn't, whom you're not expecting to make an impact from day one.
Yeah. And like, if you're looking at tape, like, yes, of course, Devondre Sweat's tape's better, but I think the point we're trying to make is I don't think that Sweat's on the Falcons board. So if we're trying to deliver a semi-accurate mock draft for the Falcons, I don't think it can have Sweat in it at this point. And this is coming from a guy who had Sweat in like 3 or 4 mock drafts prior to his arrest. So, like, I mean, I'm all about Sweat. You don't have to convince me, you know, you don't have to convince me that's what's good on tape, but I just don't think the Falcons are going to consider him. That's the only thing holding me back there. But let's go with Mason Smith, because I agree. I think this is the staff that likes to develop guys and likes to take chances on guys, and the fourth round is the place to do it. You're not giving up a premium asset. You've got a chance to develop a guy behind an already good group of starters. And yeah, I'm I haven't taken him before, so we'll work that in. Maybe that'll cool. be one of those surprise picks.
Cool. So we're defensively, we're talking about what? Latu, Smith, Newbin, and Rakestraw?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good, guys.
It's exciting.
That's pretty good.
It's coming together. We got some defense coming together here.
We still need to fill our Georgia quota, though.
The Georgia quota. Yep. Yes, we do.
We're going to have to grab, you know.
Offensive guys there, too. We filled wide receiver. We even got the, you know, developmental quarterback as well. So, I don't know. Yeah, I know I'm biased here, but I feel like we've done a good job.
Yeah. Not to toot our own horns or anything, but I think we've done a great job here. Yeah. But
you know, we are great.
We did a great job. Congratulations, guys. Yeah. But I think, okay, so here are the top guys left on the board.
What pick are we? We're 140.
143. So Leonard Taylor III still here on the interior. We got Charles Smith Wade at corner. Yeah, I guess some teams have character concerns with him. I think that's what I heard, but I don't know if he'll last this long.
He hasn't done anything off the field.
No, I think it's more like they're wondering why he's so hot and cold. Like, I don't know if there's any firm report. Yeah. You know, there's always this, like, that's why I hate this stuff, because it's like, oh, there's character. Like, okay, what did he do? Well, you know, why didn't he play consistently? Well, I don't know. You're supposed to tell me.
I don't want to go all too off track, but there was an issue that came up when it came to his playing time and why he wasn't receiving as many snaps. And a lot of it had to do with just his conduct on the practice field and the weight room and stuff like that. But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
He's still not going to be here in the fifth.
Yeah.
Tyke Smith is here, though. I know he is.
I think Tyke Smith just went off the board. Let me see.
He is?
Let me check. Yeah. He actually went just a few picks after the Falcons pick.
Adnan, I don't know about that quota being met unless
Marcus Rosemi Jackson still
if possible. If we have to blow our last pick on it, we'll do it. If the Falcons could do it with Justin Schaefer a few years ago, we can do it in this month.
I don't know what other Georgia players there are.
You know what I've done a couple times with that last pick? I've taken Kendall Milton.
Yeah.
Just to add a third running back to the room.
Yeah.
A Georgia guy.
Oh, there you go. You're right. Kendall Milton will be there. We're all good. We'll wait till 197. We'll grab Kendall Milton. It's all good.
The only thing, what position is Avery Williams playing next year?
You know,
Avery Williams is already struggling for playing time because Ray McLeod is still in his snaps on special teams. So he's going to have to carve his niche.
Don't you slander that punt return ability. That was some amazing punt return.
He's going to have to make his way onto the roster.
It's going to be a hell of a competition for the punt returner. But Avery Williams did lead the league in punt return average a couple of years ago. But we'll see how he looks coming off that ACL injury. Now, that being said, I will have to drop off early. So I will leave it in your capable hands. I'm going to look back on this video to make sure that we got a Georgia player, by the way. So
they will look. They will definitely look. Yeah. They got incensed
I will be
that
watching
we drafted
to make that sure we, that we fill the Georgia quota. So
that
yeah,
we slandered that up. Man on that.
All right,
that one player.
Kevin, viewers, I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Eric, it was really good to see you.
Yes, sir. Take it
lovely.
Easy.
Thanks, Adnan. Appreciate you. All right, we're gonna have to finish. We're gonna have to double team this and finish this out, Eric. Cause we're already at like an hour and 15. We've been chopping it up here. Let's see. So, yeah, in this range, Luke McCaffrey is always good. I just love Luke McCaffrey. I think he's such an interesting receiver. Malik Mustafa at safety, I think, is a really fun, like, box safety guy. Cedric Gray at linebacker, I think, is interesting. I like DJ James as, like, a depth corner. Cam Hart also as a depth corner, I think, really interesting. Curious if you have any, like, favorite guys in this range.
Do you consider double-dipping at edge here?
Yeah, I think Gabe Murphy is here. I don't know that he's going to last this long. But let me check and see what we got here. Let's see. We got Javonte, Jean Baptiste, Nelson Caesar, Braden McGregor, Miles Cole, Justin Aboibi. Yeah, it's pretty slim pickings at edge.
So Jonah Ellis is gone, huh?
No, he's long gone, yeah. I love Jordan Ellis. Yeah. Let's see.
You know, we've tapped every position on defense except linebacker. Maybe we should take a depth guy slash special teamer. I don't know if you if this is still early enough for you here in round five. Some teams look at round five and saying, "Hey, man, you can still find a steal. You can still find a starter at some point." In so
no, that's why I like Luke McCaffrey, because I feel like he can play special teams, 6'2", like over 200. You know, he's a special teamer too. Has that inside outside flexibility. But Cedric Gray, the linebacker from North Carolina, is still here too.
You know what's interesting with McCaffrey? Man, when he was at Rice, they used him in a, such a similar fashion as how the Rams used Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
And I don't want to sit here and say,
you're
like,
saying he's the next Cooper Kupp?
I'm not sitting here saying that. I'm just saying when I'm watching his tape, just getting like he was, like you said, he was a 6'2 guy, and he lined up like literally primarily in the slot, literally all the time, winning his fair share of battles. Just quicker than fast, good footwork, makes the tough catches. I swear, man, watching, I was like, this is similar to what the Rams did with Cooper Kupp. But I see what you see in him. I like him a lot too.
Yeah. Well, do you want to do that, or do you want to go for a linebacker?
Well, why the hell not? You can never have too many weapons.
Luke McCaffrey, especially in this wide receiver class.
Man, you take the unit that we already have and you add Javon Baker and Luke McCaffrey to it. Hey, let's play some football.
Now we're cooking with gas. We're keeping seven wide receivers. Let's go.
Let's play some football.
All right, we got two pick. Well, we got one pick left because 197 is reserved for Kendall Milton, so we can fill the dog quota.
We're really doing that, huh?
We have to. I don't think there's any more dogs available.
Linebacker, next pick for me.
Okay, let's see what we got. All right, show me linebackers. Okay, we got our choice of Tyron Hopper, Michael Barrett, Curtis Jacobs, Nathaniel Watson, Jalen Ford, Defoan Uifoshio. That's someone I'd like to take for sure. I think he's interesting.
The way you pronounce his name just now,
is it really wrong?
It is. Yeah, it's not good. I failed, and I don't want to. I don't want to try it again. I'm good.
Yeah, that's one of the more intimidating names. I just try to get through it as fast as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, we could consider him. I don't know which guys do you like?
I like Jalen Ford here. Really good size, 6'3", 240, physical linebacker. Does have some tendencies of getting washed out of certain plays, but I think that's mainly because of his positioning. Prior to contacting opposing linemen and things of that nature, kind of sort of taking himself out of the play at times. But I like the potential here. And you're not looking for a refined product in this late in the draft. You're just looking for someone that has a few traits that you can mold and help elevate. So
I like Jalen Ford too. He's interesting for sure. I think he's one of those guys that's just going to be like on your roster. Like he may never be a starter, but like he's just going to be you can always find a place for him because he's going to play special teams and
He's going to play special teams. And next thing you know, he's had 8-9 years in the league on your team, and he's just been kept over and over and over again. So I can see that for him as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think someone brought up that Zion Logue from Georgia, the defensive tackle, also is available. So we don't have to fill the dog quota, Eric. If you want to go against the paradigm,
no, I do. And honestly, I find myself doing that a lot more often when I do these mocks. I find myself taking at least one dog, whether it's Kamari Lassiter, whether it's Javon Bullard or Tyke. Yep. But I'll tell you this. When I asked about Ladd earlier, bro, I love Ladd McConkey in this offense.
Yeah, I do too. I think he'd be super fun. I just feel like they're going to have to trade up. Yeah.
He will be, to me, he would be better than Puka in this particular scheme with this quarterback.
He's really good.
I'm that high on Ladd. I don't want Ladd to fall to Kansas City, for the love of God.
Oh, God. Yeah, nightmare material right there. No, the Kansas City is going to get A.D. Mitchell, and it's just going to be like, wow. Yeah. Wow, I can't believe we allowed
just this don't let him. Just don't let them get Ladd or Xavier Worthy. They can have whoever else they want. Just those two, don't let them go to Kansas City.
We can just, you know, phone it in after that. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But we want
We want to go Kendall Milton here. I'm good with Kendall Milton, man.
We want to fill the dog quota. I mean,
we got to fill the dog quota. I mean, and with that Rams offense, they've had three running backs, three solid running backs, pretty much the entirety of McVay.
Kendall Milton's actually a good player. Like, I'm not like slander whatsoever intended towards Kendall Milton. But he, you know, he's a good pass blocker, play special teams. You know, he can do all that stuff.
And that's going to get him on the field.
Yeah, so no problems whatsoever. We'll fill the dog quota. We'll get Kendall Milton here. We haven't sent him to the Falcons before.
Let's do it.
And that'll wrap us up. But yeah, Eric, really, really fun mock. I appreciate you coming on and sticking with us for the long show. Folks, one more reminder before we finalize this mock draft. We'll be live Thursday starting at 7:45, Friday starting at 7, and Saturday starting at noon to take you through all seven rounds of the draft. All those shows are already up on the YouTube channel, so you can favorite them. You can subscribe them. Tell your friends, tell your buddies, tell all your Falcons fan, brethren, sisters, whoever, to come join us and have a great time there, because you can also win a $50 NFL shop card. That'll get you like halfway to the first overall picks jersey, right? We're giving away one on day one, one on day two, and one on day three. So
how do you put your name in for this?
All you gotta do is that's great. That's great co-host work, Eric. You still got it. But you gotta subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Okay. You gotta join the Falcoholic Discord, because that's how we're gonna tell you how to redeem your gift card. And then you just have to be present when we do the giveaway, so you can join the giveaway on the live stream and then confirm that you've received it. So that's it. That's the only things you gotta do. You don't gotta do anything else. You don't gotta, you know, spread the email to 15 people or anything like that, you know, just simple stuff. And you know, on that note, do like and subscribe now, that you'll get one step out of the way in advance. And then give us that 5-star review in your podcast platform of choice. That's not required for the giveaway, but you know, if you could do that also, that would be cool. And yeah, come and join us as we break down this draft and have a good time. I know Eric will be very busy with his ESPN duties during the draft, but I'm sure we'll have you on sometime in the coming weeks to break it down as the dust clears. But
gotta break down this class no matter how it looks.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. I maintain it's gonna be, you know, positive. Yeah, I think it'll be great. You know, apparently PFF simulator does not understand the dog quota. They give that Kendall Milton pick an F, you know, so they don't respect the dog quota, you know.
What do
PFF
they know?
Why are you booing me? I'm right, you know.
What do they know?
Yeah, they don't know anything. These guys, you know, the nerds. Jesus. But yeah, this draft gets a B+, which is, you know, I don't really care at all what PFF thinks about my draft. But
given how the offseason is gone, adding a B+ draft, I would say this is a pretty successful.
Yeah, that's actually how it goes. Yeah, I mean, you know, Laiatu Latu at 13 is an A+. So, you know,
as it should be.
That's the first round pick. If you get an A+ with that first round pick, then. That's pretty much it. And then, you know, Newbin and Rakestraw, A-, A-. So,
and I think Javon Baker's the steal of the class, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's very exciting. So, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Real quick, let me read you some final comments from, we got Jason Gaines with the $2. Says, shout out to Matt Ryan for an excellent career. Next stop for Ryan is Canton and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Fun fact, Matt Ryan is the only QB in NFL history to throw for at least 3 passing touchdowns and 4 consecutive playoff games. Yes, shout out to Matt Ryan. He is the GOAT for the Falcons. Love him.
Thank you.
Respect
thank you,
that
Matt,
man.
For everything.
Yes, thank you, Matt. I'm sorry we failed you, Matt.
We did.
You did everything that you could. Mad respect.
Absolutely.
And then George, talking about our third and fourth round decisions, saying, you know, he would go with Cedric Van Pran at 74, and then he likes the idea of Sweat in the fourth. Think young people are allowed to make mistakes, and the DUI will humble him and make him hungry. And Eric, he also wants to know just your overall thoughts on Sweat. You know, without the DUI and everything, what do you think about Trevondre Sweat in general?
I think he's a monster. What we saw from him during pre-draft workouts was it solidified everything that you saw on tape. This dude is he plays a particular position that's kind of sort of getting phased out of the NFL to an extent, but his ability with his size, like, you can't teach that. You just have to be naturally gifted, and he is. And I hope this DUI thing is not something that truly tarnishes his draft stock to the point where we see him there in round 4 he's not around for a talent.
No, no.
At all. Yeah. So hopefully he lands on a team, one, that's not in the NFC South, because I don't want to play that twice a year. I already got to deal with Derrick Brown.
Right.
And Vita Vea. I'm good. I don't need another big, I don't need another beefy nose
tackle in the business.
Please. But yeah, Sweat has the juice, man. I like him. It's gonna be interesting to see where he lands.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks, George, as well, for your contributions. And then we have Corey with the $2 saying, I'm very excited about the offensive packages we're gonna be able to put together after we draft Michael Penix at 8. You know, Corey just dropped that bomb in here. Thank you, Corey. I do think the Falcons' interest in Penix is genuine.
I think it's real.
I just don't think they're considering drafting him at 8. That's all.
Yeah.
So,
the only players, in my opinion, that I think they will be.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Of course, if hypothetically, if Jaden Daniels fall to 8, they may consider it. But there's no way in hell that's going to happen. Would you be mad if they took Neighbors?
The Falcons? Absolutely not. I would not be mad at all. Not in the slightest.
The first 5 minutes or so, I might be like, why did they do this? And then after
I know
I
why.
Watch more of the tape, I'm like, we just got the steal of the draft. Like, I just, talk myself out of it. So.
Oh, yeah. No, Neighbors to me is like wide receiver 2 and like a top 5 player in this class. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would not be at all upset if Neighbors is there and they're like, we just have to take Neighbors. You know, I think they would be a little bit more willing to trade with Odunze there, just because I feel like there's a little bit of skill set overlap with him in London, whereas mm-hmm. I think like Neighbors is like the perfect compliment,
to Mooney and Rondale. Oh my god,
yeah, it's Jesus. Just like London and all, like you add Malik Neighbors in there too, and it's like, oh my god, with Kyle Pitts and all, like this is like terrifying. So like, oh, I mean, yes, like you just
oh,
do.
Guess
it.
What? They're still throwing passes to Bijan. Oh, this
yeah.
is
yeah. So I mean. I think he's going to go like top 6. If he's there, that's definitely one guy they're going to have to stop and consider, like, do we really want to trade away the chance to get, like, do we actually want to trade this guy? So his movement skills are rare. They are truly rare. So, you know, I can't argue with that. You know, I can't. So really, really interesting stuff there. Robert Kelly, oh yeah, I know we had this asked earlier. Thoughts on Trey Hendrickson? Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Hey man, look.
Absolutely.
What's my motto, Kevin? It never hurts to make the call.
Yep.
To just
do it.
Have
call
a conversation.
Me. Call us up. Let's do it. Let's
no
make
one
this happen.
Said you got to pull the trigger. No one said you got to discuss trade talks. But just a, hey, man, how's the family?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this Trey Hendrickson thing, what's up with that? Like, it doesn't hurt
to
make that point.
After we trade down and pick up that extra second and we have 2/3, you know, maybe we just be like, hey, we've got all these day 2 picks. We might be able to send you one. You know, you send what's Trey Hendrickson over here. We send a 3rd-round pick your way. You
right.
know, we'll take that $15 million cap off your hands, you know.
Yeah. Don't worry
everybody
about it.
Wins.
We'll take care of that price tag. Right. And then at 13, we'll do what? We'll take whoever we want.
Quinyon
Mitchell. We'll take Quinyon Mitchell and say, hey,
yeah,
life is
you
could
take Latu too and just like double up and actually have two.
Well,
you could have two good edge rushers for the first time forever. Yeah.
Right. We've never had this before. We can do whatever we want. It doesn't hurt to make the call.
Yeah. So I'm definitely interested. I doubt it happens just because.
I doubt it happens too, but my thing is this. Given what we heard as far as what they wanted to pay Danielle Hunter, it's well within your price range. Yes.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think the Falcons are out of cap space. They haven't even begun to make cap space yet. Like, they have not done anything. They're out of cap space on paper, but they have the ability to clear basically whatever they want.
Like, I guarantee you, if you ask Grady and Jake to shave off a little bit of their salary and restructure it to bring in a guy like Hendrickson, I guarantee you they'll say, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, if they extend Terrell, they could clear a ton of money. If they do a couple of simple restructures, they could clear like $30 million. Like, I mean, this is not like they can make money.
There's still a couple players that they can let go and save some money as well.
Yeah, quite a few. So, you know, I think they're wise to not make the money unless they need to, certainly, which is why they haven't done it. But if if Trey Hendrickson walks in the door, like, yes, they can absolutely make that work. And they could sign him. They'll sign him to a new deal that'll lower his cap hit too. So,
and what better way to remind New Orleans of their blunder?
That's why I want to do it more than anything, really. You just lost like three offensive linemen. We're trading for Trey Hendrickson today, like the day your lineman retires. Actually, Trey Hendrickson, come on over. Yeah, you want to stick it to those guys, buddy?
Let's do it.
The full circle, but. Eric, always a blast to talk to you. Reminds me of the old days. I guess tomorrow would make it 8 years since our first ever Falcoholic Live. So,
hey, man, I want to give you the congratulations. You deserve all of it because of your ability to keep this train rolling throughout everything that's going on over the years. This has definitely been a successful aspect within the Falcons community, within the Falcons fan base. And I want to give you your flowers, Kevin. You did a hell of a job with this show, and you continue to do a hell of a job with this show.
Thank you so much, Eric. And I couldn't have gotten through those first 2 years of like single and double digit viewers without your help. So, you know, those long days on Facebook Live with like 8 to 12 viewers.
Oh, my God.
You got to grind through those days. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, folks. You know, you can see it. But we had to get through that.
I don't even use my Facebook anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is anymore. I don't even know if that exists. Oh, but Jesus. Yeah. It come a long way, but glad to see you were able to parlay that into your own production career as well. So very happy to see that. And it's always great to have you on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again soon. But guys, thank you so much for joining us for our final pre-draft show. We'll see you guys tomorrow night, 7:45 for round one of the 2024 NFL draft. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic. Kevin, he's Eric Robinson at _Eric_Robinson. And he was on Nonika Jetse, which he'll be back tomorrow too. But thank you guys for hanging out with us. Thank you for surviving this draft season. The light is right there. One more sleep, as the kids say, and we will be here 7:45 tomorrow to break down this NFL draft. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night, folks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.